And welcome to Encounter Radio, the show where we talk about the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We're so excited to be with you today. Encounter Radio, of course, is a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Radio Network. Man, Dan, we're excited about the day, yeah?
Amen. Yeah, my name is Dan Dimite. This is Aaron Richards, and we're going to bring to you, friends, an incredible life-changing testimony of our good friend Maggie.
Good. Let's open in prayer, Dan.
All right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good and gracious God, we worship you. We adore you. We praise you. We pray, Lord, that you would be a God that moves in power.
Yes.
And we believe that you move in power not just in the extraordinary moments of our days, but at the ordinary moments of our days, Lord, that you want to move in power right now as we listen to this show. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives right now. We invite you into our cars, into our homes, wherever we're listening. We just invite your presence. Come, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for calling us into lives of mission. Jesus, that you call your church to live lives of mission where we realize that we're not just here to exist. God, we're not even really just here to exist in relationship with you. But God, we're here to accomplish your will, to bring your kingdom to life here on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for calling us out of our comfort zone once again today, and calling each one of us into a deeper communion with you. Amen.
Amen. Awesome, Aaron. So what do we got going on today?
Man, in reflecting on our show from last week and just on the scriptures from this week, it's been so cool to see how invested God is in the mission of his people. We look at, you know, in this, we're wrapping up the season of Easter. We look at how God has spoken so clearly through the life of the early church, and how, man, those first followers of Jesus must have been going through just an incredible process of having their entire life story be rewritten. You know, they practiced mission when they were on the road with Jesus, it seems, for 3 years. And then once, you know, at the passion and resurrection of the Lord, it's like the training wheels are off. And all of a sudden, these men and women who had been a part of seeing the miracles and seeing the story of Jesus lived out before them, like, now is the time that they actually are charged with living it for themselves. And I think a lot of times in our lives, we go through this process of, like, experiencing the moments of formation and direction under the leadership of Jesus, right? Whether that, you know, for some of us who are, like Dan and I, for some of us who are in professional ministry, who've been through schooling and who've been through training and you know, served in a variety of capacities, whether it's youth ministry in a parish, whether it's a director of religious education, whether it's in a variety of you know, music ministry, whatever the case may be, teaching or preaching or leading, all the way up to the kind of work that we're doing today with Damascus. You know, some of us are in the professional area of youth ministry, but even if you're not in professional ministry, every one of us, all Christians, are in full-time ministry, right? This is the call on our life. And I think for many of us, we go through seasons of sort of being formed by the Lord and being led by the Lord and then being launched by the Lord. And I want to start off our show today by kind of engaging in that process of asking, you know, what are the different ways that we or that others can be and should be receptive and open to that launching forth of onto mission?
Amen to that. I love that. We're all in full-time ministry. Did you guys hear that? That's incredible. So, like, you're like, dude, I'm a teacher. Hey, congratulations. You're a teacher at a public school. You are in full-time ministry. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you're in full-time ministry. If you are an engineer and you're super smart, way smarter than me, you're in full-time ministry, right? We're all in this full-time ministry. I love what St. John Paul II said, and he's got this letter called The Mission of the Redeemer, and this is how it starts. The very first paragraph, it says, "The mission of Christ the Redeemer, which is entrusted to the church, is still very far from completion. As the second millennium after Christ's coming draws to an end, an overall view of the human race shows that this mission is still only beginning and that we must commit ourselves wholeheartedly to its service." That's amazing, right? Like, it's just beginning. This mission of the Redeemer, it's far from completion. Actually, we're showing the mission is still only beginning, and we have to commit ourselves wholeheartedly. Not only people who are priests and nuns should commit themselves wholeheartedly. Only people in full-time ministry jobs should commit themselves wholeheartedly. But all of us are wholeheartedly to its service, right? Mm-hmm. The mission of the Redeemer, we're at service to Jesus's mission as the Redeemer of the world. And he says, it is the Spirit who impels us to proclaim the great works of God. And then he quotes St. Paul saying, for if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find like this, the letter goes on, it's just such power, and it goes on to say that like John Paul II just says, we're welcomed into this redeeming character of Jesus Christ. That like Jesus's mission was to bring all souls back to the Father. And praise be Jesus Christ. The good news of Pentecost is that by right of the gift of the Holy Spirit, I am brought into the same mission of Jesus Christ, and I get to bring souls back to the Father. And today I woke up with a God-given mission and a God-given opportunity to bring souls to the Father and to allow the kingdom of God to come to earth and to be manifested.
Yeah. And that this looks different for every single person, right? I mean, day to day, Dan, you and I work with young adult missionaries who've completely sold out for the gospel, right? They've at our missionary program at Damascus, they've dedicated 2 years of their life at least to complete full-time day in and day out ministry work. And it's so cool to have conversations with these individuals as they're discerning what their next steps are, right? Because ministry isn't something that you graduate from, right? Our call to mission isn't something that you're done with one day. You know, going on a mission trip with your parish, you're not checking off a box that says that we've successfully accomplished our Christian call. So it's neat to engage in conversations with missionaries as they're talking about, okay, I've given my life day in and day out 24/7 to mission for the last 2 years. What's mission next year look like? What's mission the year after that look like? And I think, you know, so many times we can fall into this idea, this lie that, you know, when I take time for myself, or when I settle in, when I take some time off, that's the way that I'm fed. But the reality is the human heart was meant to be given away, right? That man is fully alive when he makes a full gift of himself. So, if you're looking for fullness and you're looking for fulfillment and you're looking to find it in a place of like relaxation or in a place of pulling back, of taking that time for comfort, right? That's not as human beings where we're meant to be filled. Certainly you have to live within a realistic limit of your understanding of yourself, but
yeah, well, it's different. Sabbath is different than laziness or self-indulgence, right? Like, so taking a Sabbath or taking rest is meant to recharge you for the sake of the glory of God and for his mission. And so I pull back into the silence. I mean, you see even Jesus, he's ministering in the towns and he says he's going from city to city. And then it says, and then he escaped for a while to be with the Father in prayer. Yeah. And there's a difference between seeking the Lord in Sabbath and rest and that way and self-indulgence. And I love that. Like John Paul II, he says like man only discovers himself through a sincere gift of self.
Uh-huh.
And like, if you want to know what your life would look like fully alive, then give yourself more. And, I think of I love anyone who's serving the church. Thank you for your service. Like, thank you for volunteering for something at the church, but that isn't your mission, right? Like your whole life is your mission. And so it would be inappropriate for me to, you know, give 1 hour on Sunday mornings to mission as like a PSR teacher and then say that's my service to the church. That's my service to the gospel. And the rest of the week I'm off duty, right? Like I have to find mission wherever I go.
Well, let's frame this as good news, right?
Great news.
That if you want to be fully alive, then you can do that by giving your life away, right? I remember in our early years of camp, right? We've talked about before, and we'll do it again, I'm sure, that in our early years of camp that, you know, when our children were born, like we brought them as infants to summer camp and we lived out of a bike shed, and the reason that we did that wasn't because we wanted to torture ourselves. And it wasn't because we wanted to, you know, stack up points or release souls from purgatory. It was because we realized that when you give yourself away, that's when you truly live. And I can just give such a solid testament to the fact that in my life, there's been no greater joy than to be given away. There's been no greater joy that I've ever experienced than by giving my life away as gift. There's been no greater joy in my family that we can experience as a family, even my kiddos, than by giving ourselves away.
Yeah.
Than by living that out fully. And man, we've got an amazing guest today. I can't wait to kind of continue this conversation because, Maggie Maurer, newly married, I'm getting used to the last name, such a good friend of our ministry of Damascus and such a good friend personally. I'm so excited for the testimony that she's going to be able to share with us about a life fully given away and what joy and what excitement and adventure that brings. And man, it's my hope, listeners, that if you're hearing this today and you're thinking to yourself, I wish that I had that excitement. I wish that I felt that adventure. I wish that I had that, you know, that charge and that fire in my life. Listen in, dig deep today. Because I suspect that God may be calling you to a deeper investment in mission.
Amen to that. All right, friends, so don't go anywhere. Buckle up. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back on the flip side, we're going to be hearing from our good friend and missionary of the Lord Jesus Christ, Maggie Maurer. We'll be right back.
Hey, I just had to say this. God is not an overbearing jerk father. He's a good and loving father, and you're his kid, and he loves you. When you mess up, he's not excited to come down on you like a ton of bricks. He's not waiting for his next chance to come down on you because you're going to mess up again, and he'll be watching. Sometimes that's our experience of an authority figure in our lives. And sometimes that experience works its way into how we see God the Father. But that's not God. That's not the gospel. That's not what Jesus revealed. God loves you so much, he found you worth dying for. Now that reality doesn't make me have peace with my sin. It makes me want to work on my sin harder, but not with the spirit of a slave, with the spirit of a son. God's a good father, and he loves his kids, and you're one of them. Remember that. For more from my book, I Am, visit rewriteyourname.com. I'm Chris Stefanik from Real Life Catholic.
And welcome back to Encounter Radio, the show where we hear the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We're so excited to have you back today. And man, we've got an exciting guest, don't we, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were talking in the break about all of the amazing titles that St. Paul just seemingly just layered upon himself when he was speaking in profound humility to the early church as disciple of the Lord, as
prisoner of the Lord, apostle of Christ Jesus.
And you know, back in those days, there weren't like official church hierarchical titles that could have been given to him. So we just had to make them up.
Can I start calling myself Dan, the elder of the youth?
That would be fittingly ridiculous.
Oh yeah, you have to be in youth ministry for 20 years before you get the youth elder.
Anyway, okay, it just got me thinking that I'm so excited to welcome our next guest. I previewed Maggie in all of her glory and amazing adventure of her life before the break, and I just want to brag on her a little bit. So Maggie is. I have a soft place in my heart for parish youth ministers because, Dan, you and I really got our start in youth ministry through parish work, right?
Absolutely.
So Dan and I both served in parish youth ministry for about 12 years. And, man, so those were some of the most amazing opportunities, not only to evangelize and to witness to young people, but to grow in mission and in realizing kind of what God wanted to do in and through each of us. I learned so much. Dan, you and I made so many stupid decisions and mistakes and That was the time.
Where none we, that have been recorded on
where
video.
Where we cut our teeth. Man, I'm so glad we, I'm so glad we weren't running a radio show back then.
Well, and I've heard it said before, if you can minister to the young church, you can minister to anyone, because like a lot of times it's like ministering to a wall, and you're like, okay, how do I bring this wall into an encounter with Jesus Christ? Go.
So listeners, if you've ever experienced that, you're not alone.
Nope.
Our guest today, Maggie, is she's doing awesome things in parish ministry, and to even greater brag on what she's about, she is a critical part of our work at Damascus, and Maggie's been working with us now for a couple years, and seeing the way that she has taken absolute leadership within our staff at Damascus, our programming staff at Damascus, the way that she is able to communicate the gospel, the way that she's able to love people. My 5-year-old daughter Rowan thinks so highly of her.
Champion.
She's amazing. So let's all welcome Maggie Maurer.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey friends, so happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Heck yeah.
Happily.
All right, so Maggie's wearing a t-shirt right now that says, John Paul II, we love you. That's pretty awesome. So Maggie, why do you like John Paul II?
He's been following me for the past, like, 3 years.
Oh, a saint stalker.
You have to explain that.
Okay, so, I don't know, how do you even begin a saint stalking story?
Yeah, that's always complicated.
I can wrap it up really well, though. So I just got married about 3.5 weeks ago on April 27th, and that happened to be, marriage. Yeah, that happened to be the 5-year anniversary of when St. John Paul II was canonized to become a saint.
Oh, nice.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Now, did you pick that day or did you pick that day?
So my husband and I, we had about 4 dates, and April 27th was not one of those dates. But the church we were getting married at gave us only April 27th.
Perfect.
So we snagged it, and we found out later that that's when St. John Paul II was canonized.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I got married on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, December 8th. So we were like, oh, yeah, this is falling on a Saturday. We're totally taking that day. So it was pretty awesome.
And I got married on October 13th.
Hey, Our Lady of Fatima, right?
I don't know.
Yes. That's an incredible day. Awesome. Good. Oh, man, we got feast. This is the beauty about our faith. We are a church of feast and celebrations. And so
I'm going to check that.
I think it's May 13th, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure October 13th was just like the pumpkin fest.
Oh, great. All right. Well, Maggie, we want to hear your story. Why? Like, how did you come into faith in Jesus Christ?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I guess my love story with Jesus, so to say, it's not just one lightning bolt moment, but rather there's been a lot of small, short stories that's been happening over the course of my lifetime. So I'd always loved being a Catholic, raised in a Catholic family, and I remember just loving the Mass and just seeing the beauty in it. I remember sometimes as a kid just crying during Mass and not knowing why. And it wasn't until I went to college where I finally had to make a decision where Jesus was either an idea or a historical figure, or he's actually Lord. And so I went to The Ohio State University, and since I was paying for college myself, I decided to live at home. And so after a few months of commuting to campus, driving to and from campus, and getting just really bitter about having all my friends live on campus, I started feeling a little bit lonely. So by God's providence, there is a perpetual adoration chapel that was halfway in between campus and my house. And so somehow I heard about it, and I started popping in either before or after class. And I remember after a few months of doing that, I was reading John 6, where it's actually the Bread of Life discourse, and reading the words, I am the bread of life, and just looking up at Jesus in the Eucharist, and then down at Scripture, and then looking up, and then finally just proclaiming, my Lord and my God. Like, that's really you. You're really there. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. You're right here. And there's just been a lot of little moments like that when I actually encountered the person of Jesus Christ in my life, it couldn't help but change.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for showing yourself and revealing yourself to Maggie. That's awesome. I love that. The Lord just wants to show you his love.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you, Maggie?
I was about 18, 19.
That's awesome. So after you experienced this encounter with the Lord, what did you do?
Oh, I continued living the same old life.
Oh! I know. Classic encounter fail.
I know. I was so scared. Yeah, so actually at Ohio State, I majored in athletic training.
Yeah.
And after working with the Ohio State football team, I was so just hungry for what was the more that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so after getting into the groove of going to daily mass and Eucharistic adoration, there was one week during the football season where I just didn't have any time to go. And so I was given the privilege to travel with the football team to the University of Illinois.
Wow.
And I got to campus, and me and the fellow athletic trainers, we set up the stadium, and then we had a couple of free hours where we just walked around campus. So I looked up the church on campus, Catholic church on campus, and found out that daily mass was going to go on in an hour.
Oh, man.
So I made my way up to the church, and I walk in an hour early, and my jaw just dropped as I was walking down the aisle, because I was like, there's so many college kids here an hour before mass. I was just so amazed. And then my eyes reached the altar, and I saw the Holy Eucharist there in the monstrance, and I fell to my knees, and yes. I was just like, actually, I'm not the one pursuing you going to adoration and mass. You are the one pursuing me.
Mm.
And that was really a key moment where my life started to shift, and my relationship with Jesus was no longer focused on me. It was focused on our Lord.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
I love that. Praise the Lord. That's so good. I feel like so often, you know, we hear in the Gospels, people encounter Jesus, and what does he say always? Like, go and sin no more, or like, do not return to your former way of life. Or he says, don't go back into that town, you know? And,
yeah.
And this idea of metanoia, a turning away from one way of life into a whole new way of life, mm-hmm. a turning, changing of the mind. So why do you think it was that you went back to your former way?
I was very scared to live an abnormal life, which is hilarious because the Christian life is anything but normal. But mm-hmm. I was afraid to be different. I was afraid to show my friends that I was different. I was afraid to show my friends that I began to pray or began to go to daily mass. You know, mass not on Sundays was totally outside the realm of possibilities with the friend group that I was around. And it wasn't until I surrounded myself with a group of missionary disciples on campus that there's this like holy jealousy that like, oh, that was awakened within myself.
I want to be them.
Oh yeah. I wanted what they have, and they had joy, mm-hmm. and I wanted that so bad. And so usually like I'm very competitive. And so this competition
glory.
That is like inside of me, it like the evil one can either use it as a disadvantage, or I could tap into the power of the Holy Spirit and use it as an advantage. And I started doing that just by spending my time in a Catholic community and actually racing towards Jesus along with my fellow brothers and sisters.
That's amazing. I love that. Praise the Lord. And I, you know, after, it's funny because after the resurrection, Jesus appears to the, apostles and shows like, hey guys, I died and now I'm alive. And like, he breathes the Holy Spirit. And then it says that they went back, like one day they're there after the resurrection, after they've encountered the resurrected Lord. And one of the funniest, I think, phrases in all of scripture is Peter says, I'm going fishing. It's like, wait, what? Like, Jesus just died and rose from the dead and appeared to you, and you're going to go back to your fisherman life? Like, did you not catch on to the whole purpose of Jesus raising you up and calling you as his apostles?
Mm-hmm.
So then Jesus, when he approaches him and encounters him there that day after he returned to his former way of life, he asks him three times, right? Peter, do you love me? And when Peter says yes, what does he do? He calls him to mission, right? Tend my sheep, feed my flock, tend my sheep. That the call, once you've encountered the risen Lord and you know that God is not dead, and once you've experienced that love, like he's pursued you, the response is not just a life of like, wow, thanks Jesus, that was an amazing moment, and I feel good, but it's actually now, no, I'm calling you now into a life of mission to
Amen.
Feed my flock and to tend my sheep. And how'd you do that?
Yeah, so I think that the strategizer in myself, I think I wanted to go to a 10-year missionary program like within a very small amount of people and then finally release my missionary skills once I perfected them.
Oh, yeah, you have to be perfect
exactly
before you tell anyone about Jesus.
Yeah, but just like Peter, I was actually just set out on mission from the get-go. So I served at Catholic Youth Summer Camp
Woo!
Up in Centerburg, Ohio. Yes, name dropping. And I just had about a week of training, and then they said, here you go.
You're ready.
And I guess that's what it takes. So I firmly believe that we can't do mission alone. And when you serve alongside dozens of missionary disciples, that holy competition that arises within everybody, we're able to serve the church for the greater glory of God.
Wow, that's awesome. What's your favorite part about mission?
Mission, yes. I get to... Oh, there's grace in every moment. Yeah, definitely. So mission isn't just what I do when I go to work. It's actually just every single moment of my day. This morning when I got out of bed, I went downstairs to make coffee. And I had to fill up the water in the Keurig when I was done.
Man. Oh, man, that's the worst,
I could have
right?
left it on empty. But out of love for my husband and for Jesus, I thought maybe this could be a graceful moment and even mission can happen filling up water for my Keurig.
That's, so that's awesome. He just called me out on my sin. Lord, I repent. I will forever. I even
Sorry,
leave
Amber.
The Keurig pod in sometimes. Oh, like, man. That's...
That's a travesty. So
I know. Do you so take gross. The pot out or do you know?
I don't drink coffee, sorry.
I know. Yeah, you have no idea. So,
wow.
Hashtag first world problems.
When we were introducing the show today, we kind of got into this idea that a lot of times, like, it's in investing in mission that we are then launched into deeper mission, right? And I wonder, even just to kind of connect your story, Maggie, to some of our listeners, what they might be experiencing. I mean, this is not a word of condemnation today, right? That our investment in mission is an invitation to a life that's fully alive, right? To a life lived fully alive. And of course, it's our hope, and it's Jesus's hope for us that in giving of ourselves, we'd come to know him more. So if you are currently experiencing your faith life through awesome shows like Encounter Radio, and through listening to St. Gabriel or EWTN, or if it is just going to Mass on Sunday, or helping out as a PSR teacher, or, you know, whatever the case may be, how do we take those steps to dive deeper into mission? Maggie, I'm wondering if you can share with us, you know, what was, like, once you engaged in mission, what did God place on your heart in that first summer of service that called you into the place you are today, and how'd you get there?
Yeah, I think the first step is that you can't be afraid to fail.
Okay.
So like when Peter went out right after he encountered Jesus the second time, when Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" He would just went out and he proclaimed the gospel without fear, and 3,000 were baptized after Pentecost.
That's pretty awesome, right?
Yeah, that's huge. And he was probably afraid, just like he was when Jesus was crucified, that this might be how he might end too, might die as well. But he did it anyways. And so I think that's the huge issue, is that a lot of us are afraid to go on mission because of fear, just like I was when I first encountered Jesus. But it wasn't until after I formed a relationship with him that there is a transition in my heart that I just needed to go out and do it.
Yeah. So after entering into relationship with Jesus, and after living with a family of missionaries who were living life on campus and seeking after the Lord, and then after being called into mission in a more intensive way through Catholic Youth Summer Camp, what were the next steps for you?
Yeah, so about a week after graduating with my degree in athletic training, I went on an interview to work at a Catholic church, and I had no training to be a youth minister at all. But I knew it, like, just like Paul says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, because I felt this burden on my heart that I need to share what I encountered, who I encountered, with everybody. And I knew that working as an athletic trainer, though it can be a good and holy job, I wasn't going to be satisfied. Yep. I knew I needed to work for the church and with young people.
Yeah. And Maggie is so humble. Right now you are kicking butt at an awesome... in an awesome youth program at one of our local parishes. And you're really, I think you're truly embodying kind of what a youth ministry program can bring to the life of a parish. Can you share maybe just some of the glory stories that you've seen this year in your work in parish life?
Absolutely. So the Holy Spirit is just doing a lot if we just say yes to him. So I can, one of my greatest glory stories is actually one of my greatest failures. So it was the first week of school, and we had resources to lead a Bible study for 7th and 8th grade girls. And so I walk into a classroom that I had prepared, and I invited all the girls there to come join this Bible study. And then about 25 of them signed up. And I was like, great, we're going to have about 25 girls in a 7th grade Bible study. And I take the sign-up sheet, and I walk back, and it's 25 6th graders. And I had to say no to 25 6th graders that we only had resources for 7th and 8th grade. But the greatest glory there is that people are hungry. And young people are so hungry for the gospel. They're so hungry for receiving life rather than what the culture is just spewing out. And I'm excited to just take part in that.
Yeah. Amen. I love the hunger that people have. I don't think they always show it by signing up for things, right? And I think there's almost like a, like I think about our listeners, if you're working in the secular world, like it's different, you know, like being a youth minister in a parish with kids who have already had like positive faith experiences in their life, they may be really eager to sign up for something, like what's the next step? But a lot of times, listeners, you may be at work and you may see the hunger of the world manifested differently, like in this like incredible spiritual poverty where they're almost numb to the gospel and they're numb to what's going to bring them joy and what's going to bring them life. And I think that should, in a sense, propel that same missionary spirit in us that like, oh my goodness, like there are people that are starving all around me. Lord, how can I satisfy their hunger? I love Mother Teresa. Like when she was praying, she heard just those words of our Lord on the cross, "I thirst," and they like pierced her heart that she wanted her life to be what satiated his thirst. And yeah. I think like when I think about the lost sheep of the children of God, like out in the world, that I want my life to be what satiates their hunger, right? And that our mission can be what actually feeds them. Feed my flock, like tend my sheep. They're hungry. They're suffering. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know, you know, so many times we kind of think that our spiritual life is a personal thing, right? Our spiritual life's a private thing. Our relationship with Jesus is a private thing. And it's not, right? We're called to live our life outwardly so that we can invite other people in. You know, God by his nature, right? Trinity by nature is relationship. And in a unique way, I've seen and I've spoken with so many people who kind of, when they're looking at their relationship with God and they're looking at their call to missionary life, even actively and faithfully pursuing, you know, what is God asking me to do? It oftentimes takes place in outside of the context of their relationships, right? I've spoken with so many individuals that are married that would see mission as like something that I do outside of my marriage or outside of my relationship with my wife or with my husband. And Maggie, I'm wondering if you can share how God has moved so powerfully through mission, just because I know this having met with you and with Isaac in your marriage and in your discernment and kind of in your life together now.
Yeah, so mission within our marriage. So Isaac and I, we met about a couple years ago through St. Paul's Outreach at Ohio State, and where we were both chasing after the Lord. And when we discerned to enter into the vocation of marriage, we knew from the get-go that the goal of marriage is that a couple years down the road, we need to be able to look at each other and say, because of the way you love me, I know God. Mm. And so when we decided it was time for us to enter into marriage, there was a moment where Isaac and I were just talking about our past. And so Isaac had opened my eyes that before he had asked me out, he was pursuing me for like 9 months. He was asking me to go places and just inviting me into conversations really intentionally. And I was like, wow, I'm so sorry. Like, I had no idea until like you actually asked me out. And I was praying about that a couple years later, and I had just had this realization of God saying, don't you see that's what I've been doing for you? Is that I've been pursuing you your entire life. And it wasn't until through grace that my eyes were open and I could see how God was pursuing me. Mm. And so just seeing how God used Isaac to proclaim that truth to me was just an affirmation that we were meant to go on mission together through the sacrament of matrimony.
Amen. So, Maggie, how are you living mission in a church context through your marriage?
Yeah, so I think, just like I said before, Isaac and I, we would like to be normal, but I'm sorry, being Christian is not normal. So,
Whoa, spoiler alert.
So discerning what our first few months of marriage would look like, we had no idea that we'd both be saying yes to serve as summer missionaries at Catholic Youth Summer Camp. But that is what God had in the cards for us, thankfully.
Yeah, that's really exciting. So Maggie and Isaac will be spending the first 2-3 months of their marriage actually serving at Catholic Youth Summer Camp this year in a summer on mission together, which is just such a radical statement of not only what the two of you are passionate about in your pursuit of Jesus, but such a great witness that kind of stands in the face of maybe what our common experience or expectation would be of marriage, even in the Catholic context. You know, Dan, you and I have spoken with so many young people that have been discerning marriage through the course of their college years or even high school years for some of them, right? And it's so funny to see a lot of times, you know, people who have hearts that are sold out for Jesus will kind of buy into this this cultural perspective that once I say yes to marriage, then everything else needs to go on the back burner until I get our married life figured out, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That always kind of drives me nuts, too, because it's like, mission. Oh, now I'm married, so I'm going to dive into comfort. It's like, what are you doing? Like, that? No, now, like, God has, brought you together so that your mission can be more effective and more powerful. And the two have become one. So now the Lord's like, hey, I'm accelerating your effort twofold.
So, not every married couple needs to come and work at Damascus.
That would be awkward.
Or at Catholic Youth Summer Camp.
Yeah.
But I want to honor you, Maggie, one more time for making that decision with your life. And I just see, I see this as being such an awesome season of growth for the two of you. And, that God is saying that because you've said yes to mission, he's going to open more doors for mission. And when you say yes to those, like, he's expanding your impact in the world. And, you know, to our listeners today, how many times have you sat back and asked yourself, like, God, I wish you would open this avenue for mission for me. I wish you would allow me to have that open, that opening for conversation with my son, with my daughter, with my aunt, with my uncle, right? I wish that you would allow me to have that impact that I desire to see. And, the answer is that we need to get into the habit of saying yes to the little things, right? When we enter into a relationship with God where every time he gives us a challenge, that he knows that he can trust us with faithfully stewarding a response, right? That if we can prove to the Lord, not that it's about proving anything, that when he challenges us to a mission, that our response will be yes, then I believe God can trust us and will entrust to us just a world-changing responsibility.
Amen to that. I love that. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and I just, married couples out there that are listening, I want you to ask yourself, have I ever asked my spouse, what's our mission? And I wonder if you had that conversation, how that might bless your marriage, right? Because I think too, if, as John Paul II says, if man was made to be a sincere gift of self, and that's when you discover who you truly are.
Yeah.
I wonder if our marriages, if they too were meant to be a gift of self or ourselves, and that's when we'll truly discover what our marriage is.
Yep.
And so when our marriage is freely given away for the sake of others, whether that's, like the life, right? First and foremost, freely poured out for our children and also freely poured out for the sake of Jesus's mission, the mission of the church, the mission of hospitality. When we pour ourselves out as a gift for others, that's when we discover what marriage really is and the beauty of marriage. I know my favorite moments with Amber as a married couple aren't necessarily the moments where we're all by ourselves on some, you know, exotic island, because that's happened multiple times. But it's when we're side by side in prayer ministry or side by side in hospitality and welcoming people in our homes and just being able to watch her give of our abundance of joy, that just blesses me and it draws us deeper. And I think that's for marriage. If you want to spice up your married life,
which
ask yourselves,
you
do. Oh yeah. Then ask yourselves, how can we serve more together?
Yeah.
All right. With that, we should probably take a break. It just got hot in this room.
It's getting awkward.
All right. So we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Encounter, a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We are so excited you're listening. We're going to come back here in a few minutes with some more awesome opportunities on how you can get involved in mission. We'll be right back.
Prayer can take on many different forms. It could be a simple gaze up to the heavens, glorifying God for the beauty of His creation. It could be a cry for help in time of need. It could be a request for some good that you think you need in your life. All these things can be spontaneous and informal. But prayer can also be formal, as in the Our Father, which Jesus taught us to pray, and the highest formal prayer, the sacrifice of the Mass.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck.
More to Life is about living the Catholic difference in our marriages, our families, the way we approach life in general.
It's about celebrating life and our Catholic faith and discovering all the ways God wants to bless us and help us be a blessing to others.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Weekdays, 10 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Aaron, earlier on the show,
yes.
Maggie, Aaron, we had some fun. We did a little Catholic trivia with both of us. We were like, is it October 13th? Is it May 13th? What's Our Lady Fatima's feast day? And some of you at home may be smarter than us, and you're like, dude, I can't believe you guys don't know this. Well, we consulted with the Oracle Google. We figured out from the great...
If
the great
she can be trusted.
And so, dun-da-da-da!
Our Lady of Fatima's feast day is May 13th.
Yay! But I wasn't completely wrong.
You weren't completely wrong. The last apparition of Our Lady at Fatima was October 13th.
Yeah, that's why I do my Fatima dance every October 13th.
Okay. So at my wedding, Dan did a Fatima dance.
I did. It was amazing. Down the aisle. Okay, so Maggie, we're glad to have you back. And so we're going to dive in because you do parish work. You're the director of
Catechesis.
That's awesome. And
that is awesome.
All good catechesis teaches and evangelizes. And so all good stuff. So what do you think the answer, the key to the bringing revival to our Catholic parishes around the U.S. is? Dun, dun, dun.
That's a big question.
Listen up, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to get the key.
Yeah, so it's all about relationships. And first and foremost, your relationship with Jesus. So you can only pour out to the parish that which with which you gain from Jesus in prayer.
Mm.
So first and foremost, the Eucharist. So attending daily Mass and just really looking, your source of strength has to be Jesus in the Eucharist, Jesus in prayer.
Amen.
And also relationship with who you work with and who you work for. So people are only going to listen to you talk about Jesus if they actually think that you are authentically living a Christian life. Mm. And you can do that just by loving them. So just in the normal day-to-day life of inviting people to lunch in your office, every Thursday, we have a couple of teachers that come up to our office and they just eat lunch with us. And we just talk about normal things and there creates a baseline of trust there where they see how we're living our lives differently. And it opens up an avenue for them to start living their lives differently because of our friendship, because of our relationship that flows from a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good. The early church like ministered out of a community, right? It wasn't like Jesus said, hey, go by yourself and minister all by yourself. It was, he sent them out in twos. There was the early Christian community. People would encounter them and be like, what is going on with these people?
Yeah. Just yesterday, even we were talking about we had a little quarterly mission retreat with our staff at Damascus, and you know, a lot of times we I think a lot of times we forget about relationship because we get excited about the more glamorous aspects of ministry, right? What else was happening in the early church? Well, there were like thousands of people being baptized at prayer meetings. When's the last time you saw that happen?
Oh, right? Man, that's pretty awesome.
I wonder if Peter just like went to a public pool and was just like, I'm just going to make this holy water. there were people getting healed by Peter's shadow walking down the road, right? That I think a lot of times we want to see the glamorous, I don't even want to downplay that. We want to see the supernatural life of the church be lived out in and through us. And, newsflash, the answer and the way that happens is through being motivated by love, right? Yeah. The way that happens, the way that you will see people healed, the way that you'll see the Lord speak, through powerful, like prophetic, word is through engaging in relationships of love.
Yeah. You know, what is it? Like, they shall know we are Christians by our love, right? Awesome Vacation
true.
Bible School song we used to sing. But I think a lot of times we think that just means they'll know that we're Christians by our love. Like I go to Walmart and I smile at the person, so they'll know I'm a Christian. But I actually think they will know we're Christians by our love, like our love, like our Christian community, the love that we have for one another. And imagine if parish staffs loved one another so boldly that when the parishioners came, they're like, oh my gosh, like these people really love each other. And this is the fullness of life. And, but I love also what you're saying. I love. I like what you're saying about relationship and evangelization ultimately it starts with a relationship. I love one of my favorite quotes from Benedict the 16th was that evangelization is teaching people the art of living. And listeners, you may not be the director of catechesis at your like secular workplace, and that's okay.
Or maybe you are.
Maybe you are. Yeah. I work at McDonald's. I'm the director of catechesis. your form of evangelization is having an authentic relationship that will teach people how the art of living, teach your coworkers, enter into relationship with your coworkers. And I wonder if you use that same platform that Maggie gave us. Maybe first, the very first thing you need to do in your work environment is find one more Christian. They don't have to be like a daily communicant. They don't have to be like this awesome uber Catholic that knows all the secrets of Fatima, because clearly we're not there yet. However, maybe you find a Christian who you can have a relationship with, and you can start sharing life with them, and then you start welcoming your coworkers into that friendship, and you start evangelizing them through that. You know,
Amen.
That would be awesome.
And how many times have you had that desire to pray with somebody, or wished that you had the same boldness that you see other people praying with, right? You know. We want to practice this every day. Our missionaries at Damascus, we practice this in outreach in 100 different ways that, you know, if you're in a store or on the street or at the bank or in your family or at a holiday, right? And God places this word on your heart that I need to pray with this person, or I need to offer God's insight into this situation, right? The way that we can build up the courage and the boldness is through making it a habit of loving people. You know, treat the person on the street as if you loved them. How do you do that? By loving them.
Right? whoa, boom, mind blown.
My favorite thing is when someone says, how do we make them feel like we love them? Love them.
my favorite was the other day Amber and I were at home, and she's looking through Facebook, and someone said, please send positive vibes my way.
Oh, man,
and Amber's
you got
like
it, girl.
How does one do that? Like, how do I send positive vibes? You know,
it's
like
a very complicated
okay, they're
dance.
Coming. They're coming out. and I, you know, we don't want you to go into your workplace and simply give positive vibes, you know. know, like that doesn't change people's lives. But what if you did go into your workplace and you
emptied the Keurig or filled the Keurig?
But no, what if you built relationship with them and built trust with them and built friendship with them so that when conversations came about, you could pray with them and you could actually not just say, hey, I want to send you positive vibes, but hey, can we pray right now? Because I know a Lord who can bring comfort.
Or when God inspired you to pray with somebody that you didn't think to yourself, man, this is going to be awkward because I haven't talked to this person in 2 months.
Yeah.
Right. I can't send that text message because I haven't texted them in a year.
Or that's my family member and they don't do praying stuff. That's awkward. And just do it anyway and see what happens. It would be pretty amazing. That's awesome.
So yeah, it's so good. So entering into those relationships is just such a great way to prime the pump for the good work that God wants to do in you.
Okay, so director of catechesis, my friend, since we have your wisdom here, what is effective catechesis?
Oh my gosh.
Effective catechesis always aims to bring people into relationship with Jesus.
Oh! Yeah. Boom!
Success.
That's amazing, yeah.
So, of course, catechesis and evangelization, they just go hand in hand. It's the way they work. You cannot catechize without evangelization. You can't evangelize properly without catechesis. And so a great way to do that is to realize that we're on the winning team and that everyone's hungry for the gospel. Mm. All we have to do is unleash the gospel in their lives, and then the Holy Spirit's going to do the rest.
Oh, man, that's so good. Praise the Lord. Good. Yeah, like the word catechesis like comes from the handing on, right? And like the passing on. And we pass on the logos, the faith. And who is the logos? It's Jesus, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so when we pass on the faith, we're passing on not just the content of faith, but the He who is the content of faith, He who is the eternal logos. And imagine if we saw church work, or if we saw evangelization as passing on to the next generation this living relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a family, right? Like here, we've got the Christians, we've got this family of the Lord, and we're passing on our family life.
Yep.
And His name is Jesus.
Yep. So good.
It is
so
good.
Things.
It's like it's the good news or something. I love the gospel. Wow. Okay, Maggie, thank you so much for being on our show. We're so blessed to have you. I just want to close in prayer today, and I want us to pray that people would become greater evangelists, greater missionaries in the secular world. I want to pray that God would do some amazing things. So I'll open us. Maggie, could you also pray for our people? We'll just all kind of pray. Sound good?
Sweet.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good and gracious God, we love you. We adore you. We know that you want to see revival more than we do. We know that you love our family more than we could ever love our family. You love our coworkers more than we could ever love our coworkers. That you hunger and you thirst for the salvation of their souls more than we ever could. And Lord, we just want to be a part of your redeeming work. I pray that you would help all of us, all of our listeners, just become greater missionaries, that they would help to bring all souls back to you wherever they are, that you would help them, inspire them to bring them back to you.
Father, we pray that if there are any obstacles that's in the way of encountering you in a deeper and more fuller way than Jesus' name, those obstacles might be gone. We pray that we have open ears and open minds to encounter you in the everyday life, to encounter you in our families and at work and driving to work and driving home from work. So, Father, we pray that we can love you in a greater way.
Amen. Whether it was a conviction for me or for somebody on the show today, as we were talking about family relationships, I felt the Lord speaking powerfully that there are individuals who are really finding conviction today, even through our messages, that that God desires to bring more freedom and opportunity for boldness and for love into relationships, particularly between mother and daughter and father and son. So for every relationship between children and parents, God, I pray that you would bring breakthrough now in Jesus' name, and that you would work to open up those opportunities for love again so that we might know you fully, Lord, and so that we might be able to engage in that adventure and that joy of mission together. God, create opportunity for love.
Oh, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Encounter, a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Mm-hmm. For more episodes of our show, you can go on to encounterradio.org, or you can download our podcast wherever you download podcasts. Hey, thanks so much. We'll be back on air next week. God bless.